other fun stuff, so make sure you stop by. Okay, our first speaker today is Stephen Cohen from AHRQ, and the title of his talk is Capacity to Forecast Long-Term Uninsured Coverage Status with Probabilistic Models.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Amy. I want to acknowledge my co-author, Bill Yu. In this talk, I'm going to give you the essentials in terms of the need for detailed estimates on the uninsured, and in particular, long periods of duration of being uninsured. In terms of the discussion, we'll talk about how useful predictive models are to actually target this group, either for oversampling purposes or for looking at vulnerable populations in terms of specific targeting those that have the longest likelihood of being uninsured in the future. One of the sentinel surveys in the nation is the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, and it really is the survey to facilitate these types of investigations and to actually study the dynamics of the uninsured status and transitions over time. So in this talk, I'll talk about the development of predictive models, the utility and their performance in terms of identifying the long-term uninsured, and some implications for the future. A little bit more on the importance of health insurance in terms of public policy, in terms of looking at what the issues are. It's really critical to understand the dimensions of being uninsured and how time plays a role, whether it's a point in time or for a year or for 2 years, and the dynamics of changes in occupation and whether or not one has portability of the insurance and affordability of insurance. Some more detailed analyses that the federal sector does looks at factors associated with insurance take-up, the financial consequences of being uninsured, and the relationship of being uninsured and health status, very important for the focus of APHA. So turning to a little background on the Sentinel survey, the Medical Expenditure Panel survey is an ongoing annual survey sponsored by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. It used to be 15,000 households. Given tight budgets, we're now at 14,000 households. But it does provide national estimates in terms of the civilian non-institutionalized populations, healthcare use, expenditures, sources of payment, insurance coverage, access to care, and more recently, some quality metrics. And this is a survey that allows for national statistics in terms of aggregate spending and statistics on the uninsured, but it also allows drill down for distributional estimates in terms of on expenditures. If we rank order the population, you see 1% of the population tied to 25% of expenditures. And in terms of insurance coverage, you would see over a 2-year period transitions in family status, employment, economic well-being, and how that translates in terms of insurance coverage and health status over time. The survey draws from the National Health Interview Survey, another sentinel public health survey that has quite a bit of depth in terms of health status measures and a couple of metrics on insurance coverage that's very helpful for the exercise that we'll go forward with. And just to give you a flavor for the way the sample structured, we have a draw from the Health Interview Survey. We have very good predispositional information to oversample policy relevant groups. We then draw them into the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, and we follow them for 2.5 years. There are 5 rounds of data collection, in-person data collection through computer-assisted personal interviewing. And just to give you a flavor, this is an example where one of the panels comes from the 2002 HIS. We then have 5 rounds of data collection, getting information over 2 calendar years. So turning to some of the dimensions of health insurance coverage, when we hear our national estimates, the big survey in terms of sample size is the current population survey, and you hear about 47 million Americans more recently being uninsured for the entire year. But insurance, as I said, has several dimensions, and it's important to have a gauge on full year uninsurance, point in time uninsurance, being uninsured continuously for 2 years, or a 4 year spell of being uninsured. And as a longitudinal survey, MEPS can give you the national estimates, and in particular, with its connectivity with the health interview survey, it affords a very accurate assessment of a 4 year window of spells of being uninsured. Just to give you a flavor for how these estimates change in terms of the metric under consideration, if we look at the top set of estimates, that's being uninsured at any point in time in a given year. And you could see for 2006, 68 million Americans are ever uninsured. For the first half of the year, it's modestly over 50 million, and for full year uninsured, it's 37 million Americans. And again, if we look at racial disparities, you could see if we just look at the first bar chart, approximately 16% of the population is Hispanic. If we look at of those uninsured for 2 years, it's more than double the Hispanic population. And if you look at uninsured for 4 years, it's 40% of the Hispanics are classified in that. 40% uninsured in that classification. And you could see a correlation of being uninsured and having low cost, but you're also characterized by poorer health status. So you could see a very clear-cut association here, looking at being covered for an entire two-year window. You could see the expenditures are highest in that period. If you have just a spell of being uninsured for 1 month, your expenditures modestly go down. And for being uninsured for an entire four-year window, you have a fairly big window of being uninsured. And this is frozen. One more. So in terms of turning to this predictive exercise, the utility of these predictive models would allow us to identify individuals at higher risk for restricted access to care. It would be an identification of those at higher risk for unexpected out-of-pocket medical expenditures. It certainly would serve as a mechanism for targeted efforts for outreach for the long-term uninsured. And more selfishly for the medical expenditure panel survey, it would allow us to do an oversample of an incredibly important policy relevant population subgroup and saving dollars for the oversampling strategy. So in terms of that exercise, we developed the model on, at the time, the most recent 2004-2005 two-year longitudinal five of the MEPS, and we validated the model on an independent sample. The first model builds on all the sociodemographic factors that have been demonstrated to be associated with uninsurance spells, either at a current time or in the future. The next model just goes with a more simple model, but it's the most important predictor, prior year insurance classification, and that's the only variable that's put into the model, just as a simple alternative. And the third model is a very extensive specification of the first model with the absence of an insurance predictor. And just to give you the flavor of the variables, we're looking at those individuals between the ages of 18 to 64. The elderly have the Medicare, and with the kids, you have some of the SCHIP expansions. And clearly, race, ethnicity, high correlate, employment status with offers of coverage. Prior insurance status is really critical, immigration, classification, and prior health insurance status. Put in the model those factors that of that historical group of predictors were a significant, and the pseudo-R squared is approximately 23%. More importantly, if we look at just the simple model, and this is also in the more expansive model, looking at an HIS measure of prior insurance coverage status, there are five categories. The omitted category is being insured at the time the interview took place. And then there are these gradations of being uninsured when the interview, the HIS, the health interview survey, is conducted, which is on average, a half a year before the medical expenditure panel survey. And you could see here a very clear-cut step function in terms of likelihood. This is a logistic regression specification of being uninsured in the future for 2 years going up significantly with prior history of being uninsured. And you could see the most likely category is if you've been uninsured continuously for 3 years in the past, you're most likely to continue to be uninsured. So through this effort, we get the most predictive model. We then run through the predictors in terms of what their log odds ratio is. We convert that to a predicted probability. We rank order those predicted probabilities, and we make our cutoff in terms of a dichotomy and classification of the weighted estimate that characterizes approximately 12.9% of the population of those 18 to 64. And you could see where the line is drawn. If we look at these thresholds of predicted probabilities in terms of the area they characterize, any value below the predicted probability, if we look at the yellow row, you could see a predicted probability of 0.35 cuts off a weighted probability up to 87%, and anything above that would be the probability of being long-term uninsured. And as we go up in terms of threshold, just to give you a flavor, you could see we're losing on sensitivity, we're gaining on specificity, we're gaining on correct predictive capacity, and we're losing on a false predictive capacity. So now we've developed the model with the most current data. Actually, for the valuation, we work backwards because I wanted to have a predicted model that was most current for application purposes. Many times you do these evaluations going forward, but just to show the robustness of the model, this is where we actually ran the model. We actually knew the actual state, but we predict whether they're long-term uninsured or not. And you could see for sensitivity, it's about 55% for the fully specified model. The sensitivity is about 94%. And there's some randomness. We're not gonna be quite as accurate as we'd like, but the model does well. For the simple model, sensitivity is still pretty good. It's 45%. This is just one factor, prior year insurance coverage. And then the last model, it has all those predictors except insurance coverage, and you could see it's not doing as well as the other two. So here, in terms of what this translates to, is if we were trying to oversample, increase the yield in our MEPs by 50% of the long-term uninsured, and we had a base sample of individuals 18 to 64, where the base sample is about 10,000 individuals, we would have to add in another 5,000 individuals to get a 50% oversample. And we'd have to carry them forward because you'd have to see over 2 years whether they maintain the classification. Alternatively, if we use this model-based strategy and we have an oversampling rate just for that small group that's predicted to be long-term uninsured, and we oversample at a rate of 1.8, all we need is a sample of 11,058. We actually need even a smaller sample for the simple model, but this is attributable to random variation. And even the poor model with no insurance coverage certainly is a better strategy than going forward with no predictive capacity. And I would just go down to the bottom two rows. This just gives you a flavor of the interval, which suggests that you really should go forward with the fully specified model, but the simple model is doing very well with the intervals, and even model three is doing better than just 50% crude sample enhancement. So in summary, I've given you a walkthrough on a very cursory look on the need for accurate and reliable longitudinal estimates on insurance status to inform policy and practice, some of the design features and evaluation of the performance of the predictive modeling strategy, evidence of the utility and appropriateness of probabilistic models as prediction tools in identifying the long-term uninsured, and evidence that models that lack prior information on health insurance status suffer in performance. So probabilistic model solely based on prior health insurance status goes head-to-head in performance with the more detailed model specification. And if you really want a simple screening tool for future surveys that are like at the door, rather than relying on these national surveys, it's something as a tool you can consider. The paper actually will be coming out in Medical Care in the next couple of months, so if you're interested, you could take a look at that. And any more information you'd like to get from the survey, you could go to our website and get that information. I think I ran a little bit over, but thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, thank you, Stephen.